I appreciate it, and thank you all for this. I talked to Brother Ronnie a couple weeks ago, or no, actually, it was a couple months ago. We had talked about doing a Veterans Day service, and talking to him, I said, you know what, Brother Ronnie? I had the opportunity to sit through Brother Hank's revival that he did here at the church, and I kind of made a commitment to God again to... because I felt like God has been pulling on my heart for a long time, because I was given this calling when I was about 18 years old to go into the ministry. And Brother Ryan and I had talked, and we've had some opportunities to talk since then. And in doing that, he gave me a book. And the book was called Discerning Your Call into Ministry. I got a chance to read through this book. He kept on bugging me about it. He was like, you know, hey, this is a small book. Are you done? And I'm like, oh, I'm making my way through it ever so slowly. And in doing that, he goes, well, it's a small book. I said, yes, it is a man's book. If you've ever had an opportunity to look at that book, it's a real thin, real small book. But I really, when I read, I have a tendency to just constantly, you know, really dig in and comprehend what it is that I'm reading. Anyways, there's 10 questions in the book. And I told Brother Ronnie, I said, I can answer yes to all 10 questions but one. And the one I really can't answer to yes to right now, I think I have a good feeling about this, is the fact that if I am going to go into the ministry, does my church fully support me? They've not had an opportunity to hear me speak or preach in any form or capacity. And I said, what a great way to have an opportunity to come up in front of the church and speak on the Veterans Day service. So today, the message that I want to speak on is called, I Have Decided. And it's going to be in Luke 5, verses 4 through 11. And I want to thank again Brother Ronnie for allowing me to come up here and do this. You know, you guys had an opportunity to hear some of my testimony back in January of this year. And, you know, I talked about, I am a child of the King. God is the center of my life. Amen. Secondly, I am a father. I'm a father to a wonderful wife of Lore. What's that? Oh, not father. I'm sorry. I am a husband. Let me get it straight. To Laura, and a father of four wonderful children. I am also, as you can see, an active duty officer in the United States Army, assigned here to Fort Bragg. But I tell you, God not being the center of, if God had not been the center of my life, I tell you, you know, it really would have been hard to live this military life of service that I've lived because of everything that we face, everything that we do. I also just want to talk about kind of put it into perspective what I think Veterans Day as a Christian and also as a military service member means to me. So, while you're turning, and I know most of y'all have probably already turned to Luke 5, 4, 11, you know, there are many hymnals in our hymn book that I really enjoy singing. Laura, she gives me a hard time all the time. Wednesday nights, you want to hear some hymn book singing? Come to our Wednesday night service. We always sing a hymn book song. I'll be standing beside Laura, and I'll start looking at her, and I'll start just belting out the song. I'm not even looking at the hymn book because I know most of the verses of most of the hymns that we sing. And I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. The hymnals were really what we sang quite a bit growing up. And she'll start laughing. So I'm just giving a disclaimer, Brother Ronnie. If you ever see her standing there giggling at anything whenever we're singing the hymns, it's because she's like, tone it down. That's what she's telling me. But one of my favorite hymns is called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. There are four verses in this hymn. And it's kind of funny because when you look at the, and we're going to sing it for our benediction today, but when you look at it, there's four verses. You sing each of the verses, you repeat it three times, and then it says, no turning back, no turning back. You know, the first verse goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. You'll say this three times. And then you'll say, no turning back, no turning back. The second verse is, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The third verse says, my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And then the fourth verse is, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. You know, we are called to be servants. As a military service member, I am a servant. I'm a servant to this country. As Christians, we are called to be servants to each other. And some other, like I said, there are some similar, or there are some differences in between military living and Christian living, but there is a lot of similarities, and that's what I want to kind of look at today as we speak for a few moments. I'm looking right now. Brother Ronnie, give me about 40 minutes. We'll be good to go. No, I'm just kidding. So, if you have found your place, please stand for the reading of Luke 5, 4 through 11, as we honor God's word. Starting with verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he had said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they had caught a great number of fish, and there was a net, and their nets were breaking. So they had signaled to their partners and the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so there were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said unto Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come into your house today, Lord. We just want to thank you for this opportunity to just be able to dig into your word for a few moments, Lord. We want to thank you for today, the meaning of today, and everything that's been done so far, Lord. Lord, just allow us to continue to honor you in this service, Lord. I just ask that I decrease and you increase, Lord, as we go ahead and dig it further into your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A fire started in a grassland close to a farm. The country fire department rushed to the scene, but the fire was more than they could handle. Someone suggested calling the volunteer fire department. Despite some doubt that they would be of any assistance, they were called. The volunteers arrived in a dilapidated old fire truck. They rumbled straight towards the fire, drove right down the middle of flames, and stopped. The firefighters jumped from the truck and frantically started spraying water in all directions. Soon, they had snuffed out the center of the fire and were leaving two parts which were easily put out. As the farmer watched all this, he was impressed and grateful that his house and his farm had been spared. He quickly got out his checkbook and donated $1,000 to the fire department. A local newspaper reporter asked the volunteer fire captain how they planned on using the funds. The captain replied, "The first thing we're going to do is get brakes for this fire truck and get it fixed." You know, I kind of wanted to tie that into that because, you know, here it is. The volunteer fire department knew that they had a dilapidated truck. They were called up, and they still decided to go to the fire, knowing that who knows what's going to happen while they're on their way to this fire. They still went in. They eventually got the truck stopped, and knowing the brakes were bad, and they still went ahead and helped out with the fire. Knowing all this information, they made a decision. And that's what I want to talk about today. First of all, making a decision, especially making a decision to come into the military or to serve and be a Christian in this life, is a personal decision. I grew up in the military when I, as most of you already knew, and spent most of my time following my dad around until I graduated high school and went to college. When I was 11 years old, and I know Scott Wiggy, being from the regiment, knows about these, but when I was 11 years old, I had my opportunity to watch my first airborne operation. My dad was assigned to the 3rd Ranger Battalion, and while being assigned to the 3rd Ranger Battalion, they decided to do a regimental jump. You know, doing a regimental jump is a big thing because you have 3 battalions, a regiment headquarters, it's multiple aircraft, and they're doing a drop into a drop zone somewhere. Well, I was standing out at the drop zone. It was Fryer Drop Zone. It was down in Columbus, Georgia, and they have some bleachers and stuff because that's where the U.S. Army Airborne School also jumps the paratroopers that are trying to go through airborne school. And a lot of times family members go out during this time and watch the airborne operations while their loved ones are in airborne school. I'm standing out there. It's pitch black. I can see the lights, the little dimmer lights coming in on the airplanes. I see kind of what resembles parachutes, and I was standing there with my grandfather, my grandmother, my mom, and my brother, and I was 11 years old. I looked at my mother, and I said, I want to be a paratrooper when I grow up. Of course, I can only imagine what was going through her mind at the time when she was like, man, really? I've already have to put up with your dad. Now I'm going to have to put up with you wanting to do this. And I was 11 years old, and I know she was probably trying her hardest to come up with ways to talk me out of this while I was growing up, you know, up until I graduated high school. But seeing something like that, making a decision, it's a personal decision. Your mom and your dad, your wife, your kids, nobody can make this decision for you if you decide to do something like this, you know, serve this great country. It's the same thing when we are called by God, and when we call God into our lives. If you in Acts 2, verse 21, it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, this is a personal decision. This is something that you have to make on your own. This is not something that mom and dad is going to be able to tell you that you need to call on Christ. You know, it's not anything that anybody else can make for you. It's something you have to do. But, you know, God calls upon us also. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Those are our instructions. In John 1:1, the infallible Word of God gives us our instructions once we make that personal calling to come to Christ on our lives as Christians. Galatians 5:13 says, for we were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And that's what we're here to do as Christians. We're here to serve one another. Me as a military service member, I am here to serve my country. I am here to serve you. And so it's a personal calling. Not only is it a personal calling, but no one, again, can make this decision for you. You know, the time I was in high school, I started when I had the opportunity, I started doing junior ROTC. And I knew I wanted to join the military when I started getting into junior ROTC. I kept on telling my dad, I was like, I am going to enlist into the service when I'm old enough to enlist. Dad looked at me and he said, no, you're not. You're going to go to college first. When you get done with college, then whatever you want to do after you get done with college, that's up to you. But, you know, me, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, they have ROTC in college. Why not do the ROTC thing while I'm in college and then decide to go into military afterwards? So this was a decision, again, that I made. No one can get you into heaven other than the personal decision, just like what I said earlier, that you make in your life to follow Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, but it is a gift of God, not the results of works. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. Again, it's a personal decision. Amen. So not only is it a calling, not only is it a personal decision, but it is also, we sign our name to a contract. I remember right before I had to get my scholarship to help finish out my last couple years of college, I was signed a whole bunch of paperwork. It was the same thing when I came in the military. It was like all this paperwork I had to sign out. Any of you all know that whenever you were joining the military or you went down to the MEP station or you decided to do ROTC, you signed a bunch of paperwork. I was basically inherently signing a contract. I was signing a contract when I was given my scholarship to that I was going to serve in the military at a minimum for 8 years. You know, when we come up here or when we call on Jesus to be Lord and Savior of our life, we are kind of signing a contract with Him, and that contract is eternal. Amen. You know, it's something that we will have our entire life. And you know, our name is put upon a book. Amen. Just like it is in the military. Your name is put upon the roll in the military. Your name is put upon the book, and it's the book of life. Revelations 21:7. Or 21:27 says, but there shall be no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but those who are written on the Lamb book, in the Lamb's book of life. We are put on the Lamb's book of life when we call Jesus into our heart. You know, I don't know if many of y'all had the opportunity to go through Judgment House. What an awesome experience. And I know Brother Ronnie talked about it a few minutes ago. But as you went through each of the scenes, Brother Sammy, I remember your scene when we went through it last year and also this year before, this year too. Brother Sammy's scene was the judgment seat. It had the book there. He was telling everybody, you know, who accepted Jesus Christ, whether they had or they hadn't. You talk about a powerful scene. Amen. Just sitting there knowing that your name is on that book or not. It's one of those things that that we have to go into. You know, it's also so not only is it a personal decision, it's also a costly decision. And Brother Ronnie, I know you were talking about a price to pay. You know, there is a price to pay. There have been many times, and many of y'all know this, where we're told to go. And in being told to go, it may be separation from our family. It may be separation from our friends. You know, many of you all probably do not have family that live close to here or anything. If you have any association in the military and stuff. So knowing that there is a separation, I know Miss Sherry talked, or when she was praying earlier, she talked about TJ. And I know I've talked to Tina and Sammy quite a bit about TJ being down at basic training right now. There's a little bit of angst, you know, with that separation. So it can be costly. But the thing is once we come into the military, we understand that we could go into harm's way at any time. Brother John, you were just recently in Afghanistan and all that. He was in harm's way. I've been on multiple deployments, just as everybody else who's wearing this uniform has been on multiple deployments. We are in harm's way when we go. It's a dangerous business. And being a dangerous business, we know we sign up for that when we put our name on that contract. And we know that there's a price to pay. But, you know, there was an ultimate price that was paid. And that was paid for our freedom. And that freedom that was given to us as Christians is through the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came down. He came down as a man. He was God in flesh. And He came to this world to save this world. Jesus was beaten. He was made to carry His cross until He didn't have to carry it anymore. And Simon helped Him carry His cross. He had a throne of a crown of thrones stuck upon His head. He was nailed to a cross. He knew that He was going to go through all of this, and He still went through it just for you and me. Amen. And like I said, it was a pricely cost because He sacrificed His life as a man, even though we know that He was, you know, when you look at the Trinity, He's second in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son being Jesus Christ. he knew that he was giving up this flesh to go back and be with the Father. And that cost was given up just for us. But not only is it a is there a price to pay, but we also stand up. I just want to give you a few statistics, but most of y'all probably at some shape, form, or fashion have heard of this before. Less than 1% of the population actually serves as a volunteer in the military. So you think about the population, it's less than 1%. About 17% of service members either remain in the military or are allowed to remain in the military until the length of service necessary for retirement. Retirement is at 20 years. Less than 17% of 1% makes a commitment, takes a stand to stay in the military until their time where they can retire. Just think about that. Less than 17% of 1%. As Christians, we take a stand ourselves when we are when we call upon Jesus to be our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, and this is Paul writing, says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier." When we accept Jesus Christ, we're going to be attacked daily. We are. You know, there's a few examples, and I'm not going to go into details, where I have felt like God has called me to be in the ministry somehow. And in his calling me into the ministry, I am doing what God has called me to do, which when we do what God has called us to do, we are going to be attacked. We are, because Satan wants to make sure he keeps us off course from doing what it is that God would have us to do. Amen. So, being Christians, we are soldiers. We are enlisted in God's army. Amen. And you know what? Not only is there a price to pay, not only do we stand up, but I will tell you, you know, I wear this jacket. This jacket has many colorful things on it, just like most of you all have on here. But to me, it's not about accolades. And the reason why I say it's not about accolades is because when I go on to be with my Heavenly Father, I'm not going to be wearing this. All the medals that have been given to me for the numerous amounts of either deployments or awards that I've been given, I'm not going to be taking this up to heaven with me. You know, this is it's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter how many awards that I'm given. You know, it's a thing of this life. It's not a thing of the life that God has called me to be as a Christian. I had a good friend of mine. I remember when I was a senior in college in ROTC, at the end of the year, we used to have what we call an awards ceremony, and they would hand out all kinds of little ribbons and stuff so we could put on our uniform and walk around, you know, as a part of our uniform. And I had worked and worked and worked and worked. And, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you, I am not a very academically gifted guy. And a lot of what we get were academic awards to put on our uniform. You know, I got upset. And in getting upset, my friend saw that I was physically upset because I felt like some of the other folks that really didn't try as hard in ROTC that year didn't spend the time to or deserve the awards that they got. But I felt like I did. You know, he pulled me aside. It was a good friend of mine named Alex. He pulled me aside and he said, "Matt, it doesn't matter what you wear on your chest. The only thing that matters is what's in here."
Amen. Amen.
And that really hit me between the chest, because it really what matters is what's here. And you know, me as a Christian and all that, what's here is God. was here is Jesus Christ living in my heart daily, allowing me to be the man that he would have me be and not the man that I want to be. So, not only is it, so we'll go back. I talked about it's a personal decision. I talked about it could be a costly decision. But it's a thirdly here, it's a decision of commitment. We commit to everything that we do, whether we are in the military or whether we are Christians. It is a commitment that we take and that we stand behind. The first point that I wanted to bring up under this decision of commitment is we take an oath. Many of us in the military, right when you enlist, a lot of times whenever you become or you get promoted and all that, we have these oaths. The officer's oath kind of goes like this, and I wanted to read it to you. It says, I, state your full name, having been appointed an officer in the Army of the United States, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of which I am about to enter. So help me God. There's also an enlisted oath that they take, and it says, I state your full name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulation and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. We do this every time our enlisted soldiers, they re-enlist for a committed more time of service that they want to spend in the military. I have set the officer's oath when I was my last couple of promotions, because it's a reaffirmation to me, and it's a reaffirmation to everybody who may be at the promotion, that we stand, that we have taken this oath and we have made a decision. You know, for us as Christians, though, you know, it may not be that we are taking an oath, but I think when we ask Jesus into our heart, we are taking a commitment to him. I kind of threw something together concerning taking the oath, and, you know, I looked at this, and what's funny is I've been kind of taking a look at this daily. I have a scripture verse that when I pray every morning, it's Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, that I kind of reaffirm myself with. But this commitment was after it was something that I put together based off the officer's oath. I've been kind of reading every morning, and I wanted to read this to you because us as Christians, I think that this is the type of commitment that we need to make sure that we commit ourselves to daily. It says, I, state your full name, having been appointed a member in the kingdom of the army of God, do solemnly promise that I will support and defend the holy word of my Lord and Savior against all enemies, physically and spiritually, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the calling of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, to me, it's been very powerful to kind of read this every morning before I go into my Bible study. And as I take a look at this, and this is one of my things where I'm reaffirming daily to my God that what he has called me to do, where he calls me or where he leads me to go, I will follow. Amen. And I would hope that you would want to, too. I'll tell you, I'll put that together. Anybody who wants that, I can print that off for you, or I can send it to you email. But You know, it's a very powerful message here because, you know, I take this obligation freely. Kind of gets back to my other points that I brought up earlier about, you know, it's a personal decision. That it's a costly decision. That it's a decision to commit. But also, one of the last things I want to leave you with today is that it is an active decision. We are given orders. Me being in the military, just like the rest of you all who serve or have served, we are usually given orders daily. We're given orders to do something. We're given orders to go here. We're given orders to do that. Now, it may not come off as orders unless, you know, Sammy or your TJ having that drill sergeant barking orders at him to do push-ups or something like that, or to hit that obstacle course or do something like this. But the thing is when somebody comes up to you, I work for somebody just like everybody else in here works for somebody. When somebody tells us to do something, he's kind of giving us an order to get it done. We have to do it. You know, Jesus gives us orders too, and we should follow the orders of our Lord and Savior. And you know what? He's given us two main ones, and that's to love God and to love others. Amen. Matthew 22:37-40 says, Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall also love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law of the prophets. Now, Jesus was being tested by the Pharisees because, you know, the old law, Moses' law, is what the Pharisees were constantly beating up Jesus about, because that's what they believed that was the law. All of a sudden, Jesus comes into the picture and he's kind of changing the laws, changing the things. And so they asked him, they said, hey, so what is the greatest commandment? They wanted to know, out of all the Ten Commandments, which one was the greatest commandment? And then he gives them this. It's to love God and to love your neighbors. And that's our marching orders. Amen. It's to love God first and to love our neighbors as ourselves. No matter what we're doing or where we go, that is our mission. Or the orders that we're given. We're also given a mission. Wherever I have worked, I've also been given a mission. Sometimes there's multiple missions. There's multiple things that we have going on. There's multiple places we have to go. There's multiple vehicle rides that we have to take through hostile territory, depending on if we're deployed downrange or not. It's a mission. You usually are given a brief on how things are going to go. You're going to execute it, and then you're going to do a back brief when you get back. You know, God gave Jesus a specific mission when he came here. First of all, that was to shed his blood for us. But he also gave Jesus a mission in Matthew 18:11. He said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Matthew 18:11. That should be our mission also. So not only have we got orders, but not only have we been given a mission, that should be our mission. It's the lost. How many of you all today have a heart desire for the lost? And I'm not expecting anybody to raise hands or anything like that. But just think about that. Everybody that you run into that you don't know, are you talking to them? Are you saying something to them? And it doesn't have to be, you know, Jesus loves you, you're going to go to hell if you die today. It doesn't have to be that. It can be as simple, somebody walking beside you or walking by you, and you say, hey, how are you doing today? It may be that one thing that you ask them that may spark a conversation that just leads them to Christ, because Christ is going to give you the words that you need to say. Amen. I was reminded of that this morning when I was talking to Laura. Before we left, she says, how are you doing? I said, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous. It's been over 3 years since I've been an opportunity to get in the pulpit and just talk. And she's like, you know what? God's got this. You know, God's got this. It doesn't matter who you run into, where you go, who you talk to. God's got this. And if you remember that, if you remember that one mission, you will have a heart's desire for the lost. You will want to see those come to Christ. Amen. You know, I know Brother Ronnie on Wednesday night, he was talking about we did a service. Well, it doesn't matter if you were in the counseling room. It didn't matter if you were in the first scene or any scene in between. You were trying to reach the lost. Amen. We had a mission when we were in Judgment House. Amen. It was to reach the lost. Amen. And that should continue to be our mission today. So, not only are we given orders, not only are we given a mission, but we're also told to go. We go. And this is something near and dear to Laura and mine's heart, and I know many of you all have been told to go. But I remember, well, what year was it? It was 2007, I believe. Yeah, it was 2007. She doesn't know where I'm going with this. She looked at my notes, but I didn't give her everything I was going to say. 2007, I had orders to go somewhere. And I thought we were going to Fort Hood, Texas, because that's where we were being assigned to. I'm 2 weeks out from getting ready to move down to Fort Hood, Texas, and my branch manager calls me and tells me, Matt, we got a unit that's deploying earlier than the unit that you're going to, and they've got a need. You're going to Fort Stewart, Georgia. Total opposite directions of where we expected to go, number one. Number two, Laura's looking at me as she comes through the door and goes, who are you talking to? What do you mean we're going somewhere else? I can't believe this. We're trying to get ready to close on a house. What are you doing? And I was like, babe, I'm on the phone. Wait just a minute and I'll answer every question that you need answered. But the thing was is we got redirected. We got told to go. Laura, being the godly woman that she is, said, Lord, send us where we will do the best for you. Amen. Something along that lines. Didn't realize that going to Fort Stewart, Georgia would almost break us as a couple. Got one amen for that. But you know what? God has got to break us so he can rebuild us. Amen. And he broke Laura and I to a point where he was able to rebuild us. As a couple, number one, as something he wanted us to do or wanted us to be. He was able to refine us. Now, I'm not going to say that life is a box of chocolates, you know, Forrest Gump here, you know, constantly, you know. But the thing is we try to stay within his will. We pray for each other. We talk about things that we need to talk about. There's almost anything that I know she knows, and the same thing with me. It's because we have that open line of communication. That's because we were told to go, because that's where we got sent. You know, God calls us to go too. We are not to sit idle. We are not to just stand and watch the world go by. God calls us to go in Matthew 28:19. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He also gave his disciples instructions in Acts 1:8 before he ascended into heaven. And he said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. And what's funny about this is I have a little note that I wrote down in my Bible when I heard somebody preaching this one time. It said, that is our marching orders. That's what I wrote right beside it. And that's our marching orders as Christians today. So just like in the military, we're called to go, we go. Sometimes when we're called to go, they're not places we want to go. How many times have you been given orders to go somewhere? Many of y'all have been given orders possibly to go and deploy somewhere. You're not going to be around your family and stuff like that. But you know what? It's the same thing in our Christian living too, is if God calls you to go, you must go.
Amen.
You know, as Brother Ronnie and the praise team goes ahead and comes up today, and as I close out, I just want to say that making a decision is definitely personal. It can be costly. It's truly one of commitment, but it's also one of being active. Laura and I, when we called upon the Lord in our lives, we both knew that these four decisions were things that we would have to take into consideration. I'll be the first to tell you that as a couple, there is a couple of the decisions that probably took us a little bit longer than normal, or a little bit longer to kind of get to where we needed to get to. We also knew, you know, we've only been here at the church for about a year. We also knew that these decisions were a part of why we decided to become members of this church. You know, that last point about being active, being a servant. We want to be active. We want to be involved. And I really hope that you would want to be involved too. We both love God. We love this country. We love our families, to include our church family. And we just don't want to sit idle. And I would hope you don't want to either. I love Brother Ronnie's example of witnessing that he uses time and time again. And let me just reiterate this here before we sing. And I'd ask everybody to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes as I read this simple scripture and close out with asking you a question, and then we'll pray. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have one simple question as we close out here today. Have you decided today? Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity to be able to come into your house, Lord. Lord, as we've done this Veterans Day service today, Lord, I hope that each and every one of us has been able to continue to honor you in all we do and all we say today, Lord. Lord, it's not about us. It's all about you. And it's all about your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down and died upon the cross just for me as a sinner and for each and every one else. Lord, if there are any decisions, Lord, I just ask that you would move today, that you would be with each and every decision that may have been made today, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for all that you continue to do as we get ready to sing. Lord, you are a great and awesome God. And Lord, we just want to thank you again for all that you continue to do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.